Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, you're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eye Smith and Daniel Deschino. Welcome to the show, and I hope you enjoy. So I'm going to bring on Daniel. Hello, partner, and welcome.
Hey, buddy. What is happening over there? How's Canada?
A lot.
How's Canada?
It's a little chilly and a little wet, but that's okay.
Yeah, we're getting that here, too. I'm hoping third time is not going to be a charm because we had a hurricane come by, just brushed us like nothing happened. And today we're having a tropical storm, which unfortunately is hitting the southern east coast, but Massachusetts here is just kind of nothing. So nice. I got to go to Boston today and see a friend of mine. So, you know, just kind of a wet hangout inside, read poetry type of day.
Oh, wow. No kidding, hey? That's great. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to have you with me. Thank you very much. I'm going to bring on some other callers here.
Sure.
First off, we have Weaver of Dreams. Hello and welcome from Scotland. Weaver, how are you?
Hello, my dear. I'm absolutely wonderful. Well, it's actually hello and welcome from Spain tonight.
Oh, it's Spain. Wow.
Spain. Oh, you're on vacation and you're still...
I am, yes. I actually promised myself I would be a good girl and leave my laptop behind on my holiday. But as you can see, how could I say no to you? So here I am.
Awesome. Thank you for calling in. And next, I believe we have Bobby, a.k.a. Captain B. Hello, area code 703. Is that you, Bobby?
Miriam Kilmer.
Miriam.
Oh, hi, Miriam.
Hey, hi, Miriam. Here I am.
Howdy,
Thanks.
Babe.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Hey, Miriam. How are you?
I'm doing well tonight, thanks. And how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I saw her on the list that you might call in, so we'll definitely get to your poem short, you know, in a little bit. Appreciate you calling. Can you hang out with us for a little bit till we get to it?
If you can get to me within the first hour, I should be all right.
Absolutely, 100%. No problem. So
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies,
for coming on. I was just going to thank you ladies for being on the board, but you called in, even better. So very excited. We got a party going on here.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, Daniel. So
shall we get started?
You bet.
All right, here. Let me post the first one. And since I've never been to Spain, but always wanted to, let's have our first one read from the amazing country of Spain. That would be Weaver of Dreams. Weaver, can you read that one? I just posted. It's by Manchild99.
Very happy to. Thank you very much. So we have, I don't like this new setup at all. Sorry, folks. Okay, we have One Day, 1963. Beset now by an acrid acidity in his throat, perspiration bringing forth a cool pastiness, blonde wistful fury against his brow, even drier, cooler, despite the southern sun. Against its radiant sparkle, his eyes icy blue, as open water inlets against the polar snow, whiteness, drained of temper, devoid of pulse, its frost to rain, quell the outrage, demands made. Of this class below every sort endowed only with the Creator's provision in which to dwell, among the lowly creature over whom white is Lord, but who threatens now with impertinence. Impudence. The scope is trained upon a beast rearing to rampage, to go where he should not, take a thing not his, to demand the impossible, to reorder God's plan, to become what he is not, nor ever can be. The spurious and the misguided ravings by those who once had savaged our land to disarray, who live in squalor and degradation with this lot, demanding a vision of that which shall not be. Through the scope's crosshairs lies precisely where the end of this will begin. It must end. An inhale of hot southern country air, squint, exhale, slowly, release, squeeze, boom. A woolly cat's skull explodes like a watermelon. Crimson splatters over the front yard, his white shirt, bold interloper reduced, shriveling, crinkling into dust. His fist still grasping a handwritten sign. Vote. End poem.
Beautiful read.
Wow. Thank you.
And it's such a hard-hitting poem. You know, it really takes you into the scene and captures the essence of the moment in 1963 when white ruled the lands, I guess, and wasn't happy with what was going on. So, it says this was actually the killing of civil rights activist Medgar Evers in Mississippi. So, incredible, powerful, right? And what did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, this was this is really, really hard hitting. I think, and if Bobby was here, she would correct me because she's a movie expert. I believe this is the movie Mississippi Burning was about this one. And it was, it was very tragic. I mean, you know, there's certainly racist issues going on in the United States still today and all over the world. But, you know, in the 50s and 60s, there was, you know, it was definitely worse. I've talked to people who, African-Americans, lived through the 60s and now, and they all say that, you know, it was just, there was serious stuff going on, and this is real, right? You know, people were just murdered by white supremacists, and Medgar Evers was a black civil rights leader that was trying to for the right to vote, and was murdered. And you know, it's amazing that kind of stuff, amazingly sad, I should say, that kind of stuff, you know, really did happen. And I thought that Manchild just, you know, captured it in its, you know, the scopes trained upon a beast rearing to rampage, to where he should not take a thing not his to demand the impossible, to reorder God's plan. You know, the way he described it here was just so profound, and then the ending just so, you know, so shocking. So, you know, I'm glad we always have to remember these things, right? This is the type of thing that we never want to forget, because we want to make sure we continue in the forward process. So, excellent job. Yeah, I thought it was definitely worthy of a front page pick.
Absolutely. Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
I'm just completely bowled over by this. I don't know if I can say anything. I've got tears running down my cheeks. It's just, I think the main horror of this to me is that this kind of thing is still going on. But it's not, I don't want to talk only about the horror of what Manchild is talking about, but also how beautifully he expresses this. It's just, you know, as I said, it's very powerful. It's also, the sound of it is marvelous. It's just very, very well-made poem.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Miriam. I appreciate it. And Weaver, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, my goodness me. I don't know if you know, but I generally don't read any of the poetry before I come on a show, because I like to have that little dangerous edge of not knowing what's coming next. But I am really glad that I started this one off, not in my usual cheery old soul, but I had a feeling I was reading something that was a little bit more deep. So, yes, I found it very difficult. I find all of this kind of thing so difficult to cope with. It's still, as Miriam says, it's still happening. How can it still be happening? Anyway, beautifully written. It had to be written, and I'm really glad that I had a chance to listen to it and to read it. And very well done. It deserved the front page pick, definitely.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
All right, first I do want to say hi to Hope, who joined us on the board. So we're cranking already, 15 minutes into it. We got all kinds of people here, so that's fun. And we, Miriam, just because I was so excited that you joined, I'm going to go actually to yours next. So let's do that. And I'm going to post it right now. If you would give us a read and say whatever you like about it as well, too, that would be great. I just posted it right now.
Okay. This is an absolutely true autobiographical poem. And I would like to say that I've been practicing reading it today, and I found it more difficult than the tongue twisters that I've written before. So I'll do my best. All things change. A 10-year-old experiments with vision. Slowly I close one eye, then open it, closing the other, over and over. Each time the scene before me jumps, the pattern changes with each blink. I move my head just slightly. All around, the skyline slopes the other way. Lean to the left, the sidewalk hurtles towards my shoulder. Clouds rise to the right. Crouch. A rose bush towers overhead. Suddenly ants are huge. Lean right. Traffic lights are misaligned. Stand, lean back. A maple hides the sun. In class, I memorize my teacher's angular Hispanic face. She turns her elegant profile towards me. Then I discover cheekbones. Now they are part of every face I draw. Somewhere, her voice hovers like a buzzing fly, but my eyes have taken over. Outside our classroom window, rust, amber, lime, cobalt, like shards of glass always tumbling, sparkle, rearranging a kaleidoscope of shifting light, exploding on my sight. And poem.
Wow, excellent read, Miriam. And, you know, I remember closing my eyes individually and, you know, seeing how it altered my perception of things as well. But you captured it quite beautifully in your poem, so thank you for sharing, and appreciate the write. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yeah, this is beautiful, and I could feel this the whole time. And I will admit, while you were reading this poem, I was closing my eyes one at a time back and forth to play around and kind of follow along, which is fun. I love how descriptive it is, and you can see. I mean, it was almost like a movie. I could picture this the whole time. Picture somebody doing this in class, and just experimenting. And you know, I think it also captured one of the beauties of youth is just the simple kind of wonder of everything, right? You would think just like closing your eyes, like nowadays would be like that doesn't. You know, we don't care about that. But as a kid, just these little things, because you're brand new discovering the world. You know, when my son was born, when he was a little kid, it kind of renewed life with me, because you can see things through their eyes, right? So this definitely took me back, and I could, like I said, I could feel the little kid in there. Miriam, so this is autobiographical. You remember doing this. Do you know why you remember this specific thing happening to you? Do you have any idea why this was? Okay if I ask.
At night and during the day, I did it a lot, and I found it fascinating and even exciting. And when I told my older sister about this, and she was in the first place, she was a first grade teacher, and in the second place, she had kids who had dyslexia, and she told that those are exercises you do if you have problems with depth perception. So that may have been at least partly what was going on for me, that somehow I knew what I needed for improving my depth perception.
That's
maybe
that's very interesting
me too.
Yeah.
Instinctual.
Absolutely, yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that, Miriam. And Weaver, what did you think of Miriam's poem?
Well, first of all, amazing. You're a very clever lady, but by gosh, you were clever when you were 10. So, I mean, that's just a great way of looking at life for a start. It makes the most mundane thing appear that much more interesting. But as Daniel said, the amount of description you put into this, it was just so easy to follow your thoughts and what was happening, and I really enjoyed it. I thought I didn't open and close my eyes because I'm practically blind in one, so it's a little bit off-putting because everything goes as blurry. But I thought it was beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. And your read was lovely too. Not a second of a hesitation, which is excellent, because it was a difficult piece of poetry. So thank you very much for sharing that. It was delightful.
I'm very glad I practiced.
I should try that.
It'd be great.
I really should try that. I should do that, but yeah. I don't.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you for sharing, and we appreciate your insight on the poem. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right, so next we have The Mockingbirds by Cedar Chapman. And who would you like to read that, Daniel?
I would like you, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Cedar Chapman, Where Mockingbirds Cry. When bugles blow to blackened skies, ash falls like snow on deadened eyes. Fields to and fro, silent singing like a warm July. Through frail pastures, though fail, oh my goodness, sorry, I apologize. I'm going to restart this.
No worries.
When bugles blow to blackened skies, ash falls like snow on deadened eyes. Poppies burn fields to and fro, silent singing like a warm July. Through frail pastures may grow where black ravens fly. Dare you not go where mockingbirds cry. Rage, rage, rage. Let not brass trumpets sound the stage. Slumber can wait. Stay here with me. Lay still beneath our sycamore tree, pondering smiles of the crescent moon. Lunar songs bathe glimmering dunes. Taste the menthol, our first kiss. A flickering beacon guides dark abyss. That let us embark, two storms will fly. Our lands entwined, we dare defy. 1,000 sunsets, yet unseen, skies ablaze, its hues serene. Rage, rage, rage. Out, out, damned spots of age, from two filled beds, you shall raise. Flames be kindled in your hazel eyes, mirrors fracture, crumble to dust. Ballads grieve at breast seams, copper statue, green with rust, dripping watercolor dreams. My voice leads you to the light, my flesh bloodied, my spirit rues. Knuckles clenched, sinewy white, splintered knees on a red oak pew. I grasp to your ankles, floating up high. Do not go gentle to where mockingbirds cry. End poem. And he says in his author's notes, you cannot recreate a masterpiece, but if talent be good, be gold, then all can afford it to facsimile wordsmith by my shaky hands. Some say ignorance is bliss, so perhaps fool's code can still spread joy. I've added literary and religious symbols of illusion just to have more fun with it. Hope you can spot them. In the last stanza, I quoted directly from Dylan Thomas, "Do not go gentle," and also included rage as a tribute to his inspiration for this poem and comment. Wow. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yeah, this was it was very classical in feel, which I just loved, and I could see that with the references that he made, but I really want to focus on where mockingbirds cry. It's one of those phrases I've never heard before, and I can't believe I've never heard before. It's genius. You know, mockingbirds, obviously, we have them around here in New England. And mockingbirds, you know, they literally mock they copy other birds so they can basically kind of take over their nests and so forth and kind of trick them. So if mockingbirds are crying, you don't want to go, you know, do you dare go where mockingbirds cry, because they're simulating somebody crying, which I think is just a genius title. One of those ones I never heard before, I wish I thought of. for a phrase. So that's just amazing to see there. And, you know, I do catch a religious or in classical feel on this that he said. I don't know Dylan Thomas that well, so if the last stanza is quoted directly, you know, do not go, then, you know, fantastic. But, yeah, I just thought it was beautifully written and great to hear and great to follow along with. It's just it's a pleasure to read. It's one of those poems that's a pleasure to read. So excellent job, Cedar. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Daniel. Thank you so much. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, it was beautifully written. And, yeah, I can understand why Dylan Thomas's poem inspired this to some small part, because it's a beautiful poem. It's kind of my mantra, I think. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage against the dying of the light. I think it's magical. And it really, you could see it in Cedar's writing. It was all there. And as you said, Daniel, I hadn't ever heard that phrase about the mockingbirds, and I hadn't realized that mockingbirds actually copied other birds to do what the cuckoo does where we are. Cuckoo just lays its nest, its egg in someone else, in another bird's nest. But this one is even cleverer, pretends to be the bird. Yes, I thought it was beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you for sharing that, Cedar. Very clever write.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
Very beautiful poem and a lot of very unusual, beautiful phrases in it. And I will just read you some of my favorites. There's Poppies Burn Fields. I'm sure I never heard that before. And let's see here. Lunar songs bathe glimmering dunes. Dripping watercolor dreams. Oh, that's so beautiful. So, that's apart from everything else, the imagery in here is wonderful, very unusual, very clear, and the phrasing also, the sound of it. I love the sound of this poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Miriam. Much appreciated. Okay, Daniel, what do we have next?
We have one that I will give a read, and let me post it here. And welcome Stelina to the board as well, too. She's active and posting these amazing pictures, so thanks, Stelina. I really appreciate that. And there we go. All right, I will read this, and it's basically going to be read twice. There's some, so I'll read it both times. There's some highlighted words in the second one, so let's second version of it. So this is by A.R. Mundell, called Evening Crescendo. The world passes a woodwind breath, soothing fingers through my hair, as the maestro calls rippling vibrato touches over the nerves of the vast plains. The shadows of the world lengthen and darken, stretching like vast piano keys, artful fingers playing the symphony of light. The percussion awakens as the lights dim. Wing click maracas, rain stick whispers, and timbal organs igniting the senses. With finger clicks start, the birds head to roost, cutting strings across the sky, plucked by the maestro, to elicit those mournful cello tones of an abrupt homecoming. The brass flares into a crescendo along the sky's horizon, rousing every class of the symphony into loud, brash entertainment, each drawing out their last notes before the world falls to a doucelet indigo diminuendo, with keywords highlighted. The word world passes a woodwind breath, soothing fingers through my hair, as the maestro calls rippling vibrato touches over the nerves of the vast plains. The shadows of the world lengthen and darken, stretching like vast piano keys, artful fingers playing the symphony of light. The percussion awakens as the lights dim. Wing click maracas, rain stick whispers, and timbal organs igniting the senses with finger clicks start. The birds head to roost, cutting strings across the sky, plucked by the maestro to elicit those mournful cello tones of an abrupt homecoming. The brass flares into a crescendo along the sky's horizon, rousing every class of the entertainment of the symphony into loud, brash entertainment, each drawing out their last notes before the world falls into a dusolet indigo diminuendo. End poem. And I'm pretty sure it's D-U-L-C-E-T. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, so apologize. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, but I can't remember how it's pronounced, so if anybody knows or if I'm wrong, let me end poem.
You did a wonderful job of reading that, Daniel. I liked your emphasis on the word, the key words highlighted, and you did a great job of reading that. But, you know, she really brings the instruments to life through words. You can see each instrument section in the words and feel their power as you read that. So a wonderful job, Amy, and fantastic read, Daniel. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, beautifully done. I liked it a lot. I love the fact that it must be so difficult to have a word that you have to use and to make a cohesive and interesting and melodic piece of poetry out of it. And she's done that amazingly well. Here she has this massive word bank that she has to not only use, but integrate, as I say, into her poetry. I thought she did a marvelous job, and it should have been a front page pick, definitely. Beautifully done. Very clever. I liked it a lot.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
I know how difficult it is to do a word bank poem, to use all the words that are required, make it make sense, and even if it includes some nonsense, it's supposed to make at least grammatical sense, I believe, to make it sound beautiful. It is very, very, very hard, and I think this poet has done a very beautiful job with it, to take the words in there that are related and to make a theme of that with the various instruments and parts of the orchestra and qualities of music. So I found this very enjoyable.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Miriam. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
I think you already asked me, possibly.
Yeah. Oh, and you already answered.
Oh, no, so I did.
Yeah. Well, and then I repeated everything you said.
We're doing well. We've got a double act going here. I like it.
Yeah. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was brilliant. I'm obsessed with music myself, and I can, you can, I've always very much thought of the whole world of everything as music. I've quoted before that one of my favorite definition of music, that was a college professor's definition was the combination of sound and silence. That's it, which basically means everything is music. And so that's what Amy did here, I think. And I just like how, you know, she took each passage is woodwind, then piano, percussion, string. She kind of looked at the world in all the different sections of the orchestra and how she could relate to that, which I thought was amazing. And I love that she ended with indigo, which is basically how the sunset could look, right? So yeah, it was very beautiful all around. That's why I wanted to kind of read it again, was to kind of emphasize the parts of that she did for the different sections. So yeah, very, very beautiful. I love all the references to nature and the world as music itself. Excellent job, Amy. Well deserved of both the gold you got and the front page pick.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Amy. All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
We have a SoundCloud by our Spanish visitor over here, Weaver. So I'm going to put that on the board, and if you want to play that gray, that would be great.
All right, here we go.
I'm aloft, my spirit spiraling, spinning, thoughts fragmented, lost in wonder. Lightness itself, ethereal, opaque, floating free, then pulled asunder. My body lies below, abandoned. I sense evil, darkness, despair. Something vile is here with me, clawing, foul, defiling the air. Unaware until now I was in danger, I see a sinuous shape hide from sight. My corporeal self, still lost in slumber, is there no one aware of my plight? A gentle voice whispers, fear not, my dearest girl, none shall harm thee. We'll destroy this abomination from hell. Your kith and kin shall set thee free. I saw them, glorious pinpoints of light, ancestors, witches, and wizards all, protecting my vulnerable body below. Each had answered the clarion call.
Excellent read, and that's a impactful poem. I'm aloft, my spirit spiraling, spinning thoughts, fragmented, lost in wonder. Lightness itself, ethereal, opaque, floating free, and then pulled asunder. And then you go on to, my body lies below, abandoned. I sense evil, darkness, despair. Something vile is here with me, cloying, foul, defiling the air. It's hard hitting, you know. It really takes you into this scene of you, your spirit being carried aloft and your body being left behind. But you sense this evil and this darkness, despair, and, you know, something vile is there with you. That's just haunting. And, and then you end it with, I saw them, glorious pinpoints of light, ancestors, witches, and wizards, all protecting my vulnerable body below. Each had answered the clarion call. Wow. That's a very, very beautiful rate and excellent read as well. But, you know, I liked Neutron Bomb's comment. Firstly, the reference to kith and kin she really enjoyed. This poem seems to her to be describing sleep paralysis, the awareness that surrounds your surroundings, but your brain being out of sync with your body, unable to move, which reinforces the notion that you are in the grips of a terrifying, sinuous being. Wow. Great comment, Neutron Bomb. And, you know, I agree with everything that she said. So it was a beautiful write and an excellent read. Thank you so much for sharing, Weaver. And your talent really shines through on that write. So great job. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Great as always from Weaver. And I'll go to Hope first. Hope Soul on the board, who said, you're a talented poet, Weaver. The images give such a haunting feel to it. It is true, and you're kind of a master of, I think, of that kind of getting the poem into a dark place and then coming out of it. You did it with the poem that we read on Thursday on my other show, which is really an amazing poem. We had some great conversation around that. You were on the board, actually, that time, too, so you heard the conversation. It was really a great conversation. But I love the idea of the ancestors. You know, I'm the most scientific guy you're ever going to see. But I know that there's stuff that I just can't understand. And that I think is way beyond where we are in evolution. And I do believe somehow, somewhere, my parents who, you know, bless them, have passed away, I still look down and somehow are able to protect. I every once in a while, something happens and I tell my wife, I'm like, yeah, that was your mother. Or that was my mother that did that, you know, because it feels like that for some reason. So, you know, whether this is meant to be a dream weaver or whether dream weaver, hey, there you go. Whether this is meant to be a dream weaver or, you know, something during the day, I can feel it both ways. Somebody kind of lost in slumber, which you do, you know, somebody's lost sleeping or somebody just, you know, feeling something coming down on them, but then the ancestors come and kind of protect them. So I think it's a great trip into the mystical and the spiritual at the same time is what you really did here. Beautifully written as always. I become more and more a fan of your work. So thank you very much for sharing. Well-deserved front page pick.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
I don't usually like a lot of the endowing in modern poetry, but here it's done. It's absolutely appropriate, you know, with all the talk about witches and wizards, and it's done correctly, and it's not overdone. It just fits right in. So you have my blessing. I did think this
absolutely.
Is very dreamlike. If it's not absolutely about a dream, certainly it is dreamlike, and it's very beautifully done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Miriam. Thank you. And Weaver, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Not really. It was, you're all very kind, and I do appreciate your comments. I don't understand how this could have got a front page pick. I really don't. But, of course, I'm grateful, naturally. But it was just, for me, a bit of fun. I love to play, because I have beliefs beyond beliefs, if you know what I mean. I can't believe in any one thing, and I can't believe in any person. You know, it's everything to me. Dark and the light, the scary and the funny. So this was just one of those delves into that darker side of things that I enjoy. Thank you for your comments.
Absolutely. Excellent write and a powerful read. Thank you so much, Weaver. All right, Daniel, where are we to next?
We are going to continue with our people on the boards and whatever so forth. So, Selena said she'll be right back. I don't know if Selena is back yet, so I'm going to wait a second here, and we're going to go to something else instead. Selena, if you're back, or let me know when you're back. I was going to pick Selena's, but we're going to go to another one. Let's see what we have here. We actually have another one by Cedar Chapman. So Cedar, wow, he's got lots of front page picks this time here, and I'm going to post this in the chat. And give me 1 second, guys. Sorry about that. I just had noticed that that she was not there. So, Miriam, do you want to? Oh, Nuno's here too. Hey, Nuno. Miriam, do you want to give this one a read? I just posted it. It's by Cedar Chapman, The Taurine Temptress.
Did you say Miriam?
Yes, you. Yeah, would you mind reading that one?
Okay. Tell me what it's called again. I'm having a little trouble finding it.
The Taurine Temptress. I will post it again on the board.
Yeah, I got it.
If you want, cause you got it? Okay, great.
Okay. The Taurine Temptress. The music starts. Spotlights bathe her in brimstone. Her dress, a scarlet cascade of silk, clung to her curves, seductively accentuating every contour. Sequins shimmer hypnotically, inviting gluttons of adulterous sin. The enchanted crescent swirls of her fingertips dissolve by noble decorum, intoxicating the minotaur within, civilized gallantry inebriated by hell's tonic. She sways her hips like a sinuous serpent, arches her back slowly, a puma red in heat. Every twist and turn intertwined with the viola and piano crescendo, every shadow consummates her backless gown with flickering strokes on her skin, satin to the touch, illuminating her moonlit pearl. Slender legs extend en pointe, like palpable lances tracing tight pirouettes on Moroccan sand dunes. She unfolds subtle innuendo, waves her skirt like a blood-lusting sash, diffusing pheromones that bloom womanhood. And I, an insatiable taurine beast, snort it all up, fur standing on my neck, horns fully engorged. She draws in the devil's breath, flows like languid twilight tides, airy leaps feathered by a daring slit that runs high up her thigh. Her flesh chains constrict me until I could bear no more but to charge ahead, to caress each sultry line with my hand, with my tongue, so to taste my maraschino nymph. The music stops, our eyes lock. I am standing, I am clapping. Bravo, bravo, bravo. End poem.
Well, beautiful read. And he says in his author's notes, the title is the name of the dance. I imagine the woman performing in the picture prompt. The narrator is pulled in and consumed by her performance, becoming an involuntary character, an aroused minotaur in the sensual dance. Wow, that was beautiful. You know, it was as enchanting as the picture itself. It really captures all the essences of the picture and brings out the beast within. And I thought he captured that quite stellarly. So fantastic, right? Congratulations on your front page pick, Cedar. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
Sorry, muted. Yeah, beautiful read, Marian. That was great. Yeah, I thought this is really interesting. I don't know if that's the actual title of the painting or if he named it the title, but at any rate, you know, just getting into this character that he created of the man or the person watching this, and it has a beautiful dance, but just being completely enchanted by her. And I really love intoxicating the minotaur within. You know, and minotaurs are guardians and animals, you know, and to that as an image of sensuality and of you know, lust or love is really, really unique and beautiful. And I really I enjoyed that a lot. So the descriptions were great. I mean, again, you can feel this person just entranced and captivated by the dancer. I'm an insatiable taurine beast, you know, fur standing on my neck. She draws in the devil's breath. It flows like languid twilight tides, airy leaps feathered by. So he's just, you know, completely taken by this person because of the dance, and the descriptions are just beautiful. You can feel the, you know, the emotion of this person. Excellent, Cedar. This one, 2 gold and a front page pick, so well deserved. Thank you for sharing with us.
Absolutely. Great comment, Daniel. Thank you so much. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, that painting, that picture, it was just, I mean, perfectly written about within this poetry. I thought I really enjoyed it. Every single part of that beautiful dress and the body and the woman all expressed in. I was actually very impressed. It was sultry. It was inviting. And it was very well written. I loved, she sways her hips like a sinuous serpent, arches her back slowly, a puma, red in heat. Every twist and turn intertwined with the viola and the piano crescendo. Beautifully done. Yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Miriam, you read it. What did you think?
It had some very good imagery, and well, what I really liked about it was the ending where he's given us all these seductive, sensual images, and then it ends up with all of that having been his fantasy while he watched the dancer. Of course, when I watched dancing, I have never had any such thoughts. I have to tell you, Nobody's laughing.
I was on mute. I was laughing on mute, actually.
Me too. I was muted as well.
I confess I looked up Farine because the one meaning I knew was different, and it's a sort of paso doble that is often played, the music for it is often played during a bullfight. So when you get that with the minotaur, I think that really adds to it, to the meaning of the poem. I think that's neat.
Any comment, Miriam? Thank you so much. And that sounds like a leather chair to me.
My squeaking?
There was some sort of a creaking sound.
Well, it is, but I confess it's not leather. It's a,
okay.
It's a reclining sofa.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So it's very
nice. Comfy.
It is.
All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
We have, so I think we're going to go to Hopes and then Nuno's after that. So first we'll start with Hopes, and I'm going to post that. I know I'm getting behind on here. All right, so Weaver, if you can read Hopes, that would be fantastic. I just posted it right now.
I will certainly do my best. Hope I don't stumble. Here we go. Such an effort. I get so worried. Okay, Bodies of Work. I miss your poetry, the ones about me. Sweet milk foamed whipped tops, a hot cup of coffee. Sprinkle Mexican cinnamon across fluffy white clouds of perfection. Not bought from a high-priced cafe, but made at home. While I wear a dark blue robe, around dawn, wavy hair, freshly pressed by large pillows, black cat-shaped lenses slip off potato nose. I miss your poetry, spoke in my ear as my head lay in between your forearms. We made art at any hour before the world knew we were awake. Mid-afternoon, underneath twilight, I'd be your muse and you'd dip your brush in oil paint, burnt umber, cadmium red light. Mixed atop handheld mangoes, smeared across peach fuzz, making me into your living art. I miss your poetry, the ones crafted just for me. Secret-coded cantaloupe, eloping with passion fruit, thumping clouds to heaven, pearls thrust in oysters, Jiminy Cricket slow dances in the rain-soaked streets, with pups who wag their pup tails, hidden language for only you to me. I miss our poetry. Sweet words, written on the halls of discord, swoon blush worthy, turning green apples red. Open up your mouth, lead out your raspberry scented wine on this flesh of mine. Pen pages and snuff out your ink in my well. Tattoo stanzas on bones where they can be hidden from window shoppers. I wish to roll around in fields of your beautiful open poetry. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And that's such a dedicated and loving write. You know, it's inspirational, their love that they share. And you can just feel the secret language in this. And, you know, I really got that where she says, I'd be your muse. You dip your brush in oil paint, burnt umber, cambium red light, mix atop handheld mangoes, smear across peach fuzz, making me into your living art. And it's just another, you know, another one that's is hidden, but you can see the words. I miss your poetry, the ones crafted just for me, secret coated cantaloupe, eloping with passion fruit, thumping clouds to heaven, pearls thrust in oysters, Jiminy Cricket slow dances in the rain-soaked streets with pups who wag their pup tails, hidden language for only you and me. I mean, you know, the language is hidden, but it's very clear, and it's definitely a powerful and inspirational write, as their love is. So congratulations, Nuno and Hope. Much love to you both. I hope that you have a lifetime of it together. So congratulations and much love. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
Very beautiful, as always, from Hope. And I do like the section she wrote of "I miss your poetry," and at the end, "I miss our poetry," which, you know, the poetry you make together, right? So your poetry, just, you know, it's, you're right. When, with love, it's that connection that you have. You really want to be around the person, you know. Not that I don't like being with my wife now. I do. I love being around her. In fact, she was in jury duty all week last week, and I missed her. It was very weird being home alone. But I also remember when we were young, and I just wanted to be around. Like, I felt so much more comfortable around her, and I wanted that. And what did you say it here? Yeah, I really liked it. "I miss your poetry. Spoke in my ear. My head lay in between your forearms. We made art at any hour before the world knew we were awake." And I love that. And it is that secret time. You know, if you're with somebody, you know, everybody sees you in public, whatever, but it's the times when you're alone. And not just the sensual times, just the times when you're alone, when you grow, when you have those connections that nobody else knows about. And that's, you know, how you get closer and get that special connection. It's those times alone, right? When it's only you two that are doing things together. So yeah, it was so beautiful throughout. What an amazingly romantic piece. Hope so. Awesome, awesome. Great, great job.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Daniel. Thank you so much. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
I like the very ending best. "I wish to roll around in fields of your beautiful open poetry." And throughout, just the whole, it's like a moving picture of these people who are living poetry together. It reminds me of the story of my grandparents, who used to read their poetry aloud, and as my grandfather read his poetry aloud, his wife would write it down in a notebook, and then she would read hers, and he wrote it down. So it's that kind of sharing of poetry. I love it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Miriam. And welcome back, Weaver. What are your thoughts?
I'm terribly sorry. I am so sorry. I had to dash away for a minute there. I was getting attacked by mosquitoes. I hate them. I am covered in lumps. I do apologize for that. Yes, I'm sorry. Are we still on Hopes? Thank you. I just wanted to make sure in case anything had changed after me dashing after mosquitoes. Yes, well, I think she knows what I feel about it. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I really enjoyed reading it. I did my best there. I hope I didn't stumble too much. But I thought the sentiments, that's what one strives towards, you know, to have that kind of relationship where, all right, sometimes things are not always as wonderful, as perfect as they might be, but this is life and we're living it, you know, from day to day. So we accept the ups and downs and everything else that comes with it because we care about each other. And I want to try Mexican cinnamonum on hot coffee. I really want to try that. It sounds wonderful. So, yes, I loved it. Thank you so much for that. And I enjoyed reading it muchly. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Weaver. All right. So we have a next one by Nuno. And who would you like to read that, Daniel?
If you could read that, that would be amazing.
Sure, I'll give it my best. "Love Stays Still" by Nuno Cardoso. After the fact, we go dormant. A caterpillar somewhere on earth awaits our permission to shift into a butterfly inside her woven silk cocoon. In our stillness, it's where we thrive. After the fact, birds chirp outside as you slowly slumber. I become hypervigilant and begin to trace my fingers on the screen of this tombstone bone. No one can corner us after the fact. Like a cloud, skin to the touch, I shift from the brush to the pills. It's raining outside. End poem.
Amazing. Excellent read.
Absolutely. Thank you. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
Very, very beautiful. I really love reading Hopes and Minnows together. This is a great, you know, a lot of times I read dark poetry from Nuno, but this is such a beautiful love poem. And I'll take a gander and, this is basically after sensuality, right? After lovemaking. And I get that, you know, from being with my wife, right? I don't want to get too into, you know, gory details, but, when you're lying there, just holding the person, that again is that true love when you feel that comfortable and that's it. I remember the very first time I was with my wife in bed, and I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about literally just sleeping. When we were kind of going out, I stayed over in her. This is in college in her dorm room. I literally didn't sleep all night. She slept, but I was so happy and just felt so good to hold her at night. I literally didn't sleep the entire night. This is 35 years later. Just holding her, hand, just having physical touch, just being able to you know, cuddle with her, is a piece that you know, I can't know anywhere else. In fact, if I'm having trouble sleeping, I literally just kind of hold her arm or hold her hand or something while she's sleeping, and usually I can fall asleep. And that's just this you know, kind of peaceful connection that we have that it's impossible to have with anyone else just because of our history, you know. But to me, you know, that's what this is about. And that at least how I related to it. So it's very, very beautifully written. And both of you are, Nuno on the board said that that Hope is the best poet ever. And I think both of you are absolutely amazing together. So awesome, right? Excellent.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes, it was lovely. I thought it was actually really say lovely because it's a bit vanilla, but it just there's so much emotion, and I do think that is a marvelous thing to be able to feel that deeply. You've not become blasé, you've not become hardened, you've not become cynical. You are together, and you are meant to be together, whether it's together apart. But you're still together, and I think that was lovely. And that first stanza I have this thing about butterflies. I love my handle in the old CB days was Blue Satin Butterfly, and I have a Blue Satin Butterfly tattoo, so you can see why I love them so much. But that first stanza, after the fact we go dormant, a caterpillar somewhere on earth awaits our permission to shift into a butterfly inside our woven silk cocoon. Just beautiful. Really, really, I love it so much. I'm going to write it down and stick it on the wall. That's how much I like it. So thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
I've had to read this several times over. I'm getting a little bit more out of it each time. And what I'm seeing here is beautiful nature imagery. And then right in the middle of the poem, he becomes hypervigilant. It's been so quiet and still, and they're falling asleep. And then he wakes up and he's worried and tense and tracing his fingers on the screen of this tombstone phone. And I'll tell you, when I can't sleep, I very often grab that phone. I'm just noticing the contrast there, the phone and the hypervigilance next to the beautiful nature imagery. And I'll, anyone tell me what a shift from the brush to the pills means?
Nudo can, I'm sure. Nudo, if you want to comment on that. But yeah, what do you think, Ray?
Well, my thought is hopefully Nuno can answer on the board, but I think he's talking about sleeping pills, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, maybe from the art to the sleeping, that's a good idea, you know, maybe going from the – I take psychiatric medication, so there you go. So from the brush, from the art that they were talking about, maybe to the pills, yeah, the psychiatric medicine, so there you go.
That makes sense. Thank you.
All right, cool. So let's see here. So I put we're towards the open poetry section, of which Hope and Nuno, you got a couple more years coming up very soon, so we'll do some more. But first, we have Blue Immortal by Ben Hart, and I will give that one a read for Ben. And for those of you who don't know Ben, he does his own artwork as well for his poems. So if you look on the actual poem and follow along, that is his artwork on there as well. Excuse me. Blue Immortal. Number one, Blue Immortal. Stolen wings give back one feather at a time until she stood there, naked, bar the ashes on her smile. Something lost in technicolor rain, dressed in dim and ticker tape. The whole world moving through spaces intimate. White lips looking for a moment's notice to linger into romance. Apparition eyes flying colors that signal no surrender. Looking to lose in the fight against death for as long as she can. Angels blue going dancing to celebrate the fall. All in a night she dies 100 times and welcomes them all. Part two, speak. Now I see what belief preceded. That in the status of choice beyond the motion of the body, the motion of the mind, it's all speaking to me. The search for an answer through eyes of St. Peter. Part three, neon green. Strangers slender, swaying like reeds to music's breathing. Foals of romance stumbling under foolish wings. Phantoms panicked when they'd already lost everything. Victorious veterans who still cling to the hope that there will come. A night that never ends. Part four, a new day. I cannot do it anymore. Keep our love alive alone. So come the dawn. I think it's time for me to go. I must wander into the dawn of a new day. I must wander away, further away from your grace. I have to escape. Part five, beckoning. Just one truth away, one question removed from the truth that I love you. Like sunlight consuming the Kinskui clouds, it had created to satiate the melancholy feeding on tears of petrichor, but never still their sadness. Like nebula's loom spins starlight from threads of dim, not through conscious thought, need of instinct, but simply because that's the way it became. Like flame dancing after beckoning of wick, a piper's white lie that the dance never ends because wick doesn't want for one to have to mourn the other, one to have to mourn the other, but flame only knows the hunger. My love is yours, but it's not enough to make you feel beloved. Part six, mortal. Clouds rest on the arms of fallen architects as the rain pours down domes. Built by men, it doesn't remember, beyond the moments they tried to capture in these prisons of glass. These monuments of time demise all the hands of mortal love as they made to see through for a reason, so you could always find someone to kill time with. End poem.
Great read, Daniel. And that was definitely a mystical rite. You know, it really speaks to somebody who wants to die and who has love to share, but all in a night she died 100 times and welcomes them all. Now I see what preceded in that status of choice, beyond the motion of body, the motion of mind. It's all speaking to me, the search for an answer through the eyes of St. Peter. You know, it speaks to me of somebody who's lost and who is seeking love and peace and solace. So they, you know, they hunger for death to help take them away from that. And yet he just wants to love her, which is a wonderful thing. So, I mean, if somebody has other thoughts on that, I'd be glad to hear it. What are your thoughts, Weaver?
Ah, yes, this is a piece of poetry that needs to be read a few times to really get all of it to become one in your head. But this just got me. I don't know why it did, but these three lines, because Wick doesn't want for one to have to mourn the other, but Flame only knows the hunger. Now that is for me, that's extraordinary. I love that concept. Wick wants to keep the flame alive for both of them, and that's what Wick does. But the flame just wants to consume, and that doesn't sound like the best way to have a relationship with anything. But I thought it was very clever, very very deep. I'm sorry, I'm reading it. I do apologize. I get kind of stuck into these, and I read them as I go along while I'm trying to talk, and I shouldn't do it. But yes, very, very interesting for me. I love all the different parts, all the different New Day and Neon Green. I mean, it's just very interesting. But it does need an awful lot more for me to be able to speak about it in any way that makes any sense. So I'll just say thank you for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Miriam, are you still with us?
I'm still with you. This is going to be my last comment. But I would just like to say that I really like the part that says, my love is yours, but it's not enough to make you feel beloved. It's a very understanding thing to say, and also very sad, a very compassionate thing to say, to know I'm not going to be able to fulfill everything you need, but I'm here for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Miriam, and thank you for joining us. It's been great to have you, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Miriam. Good night.
Enjoyed it very much. Bye.
Good night. Good night, Miriam. Speak to you soon.
And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, this is one of my favorite paintings by Ben. I love this painting. When he does shadows, I think it's beautiful. And Ben really has a great storytelling way. I think that's why he does it in the parts. It's almost like chapters. By the way, you got to look for his books. He's actually working on publishing books right now, which I'll definitely get his book. He's kind of taking you through the story, and he's doing it at the it looks like at the character of the girl. But I think one of the things he captured is that almost primeval thing about love and connection that we have. If you see somebody that you're really enamored with, it's hard to get them out of your mind. Unfortunately, sometimes that can become obsession, right? People who might have some issues, but for most of the time, for most of us, I think it's just this a fascination, and he's kind of taken it off, and I forget exactly where it was in here, where he's saying, I'm just going to walk away. I don't want to have to. Well, there it is right there, a new day. I can't do anymore. I can't keep our love alive alone, so come to the dawn. I have to escape. It's better to just escape, but, he can't necessarily. And I do love the end. I thought it was just a beautiful way to do it. So you always find someone to kill time with. And, that, again, is a great description. You get a lot of love poetry tonight, and that's a great description of love, I think, because you don't have to do something with somebody you love. You just want to be with them. It's just killing time. And there's a great song. I don't know if anybody here knows the band Phish, P-H-I-S-H. There's a song called Waste by them off my favorite Phish album, Billy Breeze, which is talking about just kind of wasting time, just kind of hanging out with somebody. And I do think that is the essence of love, is just being with them is enough, no matter what you're doing. So, yeah, beautiful as always, Ben. This is actually one of my favorites, I think, that you wrote. So, excellent job.
Absolutely. Great comment. All right, where are we to next?
All right, we only have two more open poems, which happen to be Hope and Nuno's. So we're going to go back to that, and I'm going to have Weaver, you do Hope's, and probably go back to you for Nuno again. But let's start with Hope's again, ladies first. And I'm going to post that right now. So, Kate, can you give this one a read for us here? I just posted.
Yes, happy to. Okay, I'm going to open it up. Here we are. Little Room for Disassociation by Hope Soul. Scratching at my bedroom door wakes slumbering eyes. Everything feels unfamiliar by the look of things. The blurs taste like smokeless tobacco, but I gave up that game years ago. So why is the receipt still on the wall? Am I alone? Yes? Where's my phone? Here's one, 3:30 a.m. Wait, I'm on a call. My partner, wait, he isn't here. Is this his phone? Am I intruding? I see rain dripping from the television, loading signal on the screen. Leap, link, blue circle turns. Hello? Am I lost? Baby, are you awake? Did you have a nightmare? What's going on? Things don't feel real. Real? What do you mean? Are we okay? Yes, we are. I feel okay. I don't understand. Maybe because you just woke up. Okay, I'm at home. Yes, baby, you're at home. You're safe. You're in Portugal. Indeed. Every day since I left. Why aren't you here? We're working on that. Soon, baby, everything's okay. We're okay. You're home with your beautiful babies, your pets. It's the weekend. You were asleep and just woke up. My baby is in the other room. Everything is okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. It's okay, baby. You're safe now. All right. I'm safe for now. End poem.
Wow. I wonder what the comment means. It says, DDD strikes again. I don't know if folks can let us know in the group. But
yeah.
It's a powerful poem on not knowing your surroundings when you're in a sleep state and wondering all these thoughts as you wake up. And, you long for somebody. Are they there with you? Are you with them? Where are we? What's going on right now? And I thought it was deeply powerful and heart-hitting, Nuno in his comments says, I remember that night. It was crazy, but I'm glad I was there to assist. And she says, I am too, baby. So obviously they were together at the time, and she had this dream of, am I here? Are we there? What's going on? And so he was there to give her comfort, which is a wonderful thing. But, the Hope and Nuno story needs to be written about, in my opinion. And, I think I'll take that on as a challenge because it's very inspirational. And, it's deeply engaging through their poetry to share their relationship with them. Such a beautiful love exists between the two of them. So thank you for sharing, Hope, and much appreciated. All right, what are your thoughts, Daniel?
I agree. The Hope and Nuno story. I want to hear that one. I've thought about this before with you guys. You should have. I don't know if you have a book. A book's out already. But you should have a book where you write it together, and every other page is one of your poems. So it's kind of like a call and answer. Like tell a story that way through poetry, but where you guys are, one page and the other page are each other. And some of it can even be call and answer, but I think that would be very interesting and romantic. And again, we're really touching a lot tonight, I think, on true love. And it's that safety. So yes, yeah, so like Gray, like you said, you're in the middle of that. There's nowhere more vulnerable than anybody is than when you're sleeping. Cause you're unconscious, you're at the mercy of the world when you're asleep. And when you first wake up, you're lost for even for just a few seconds. You're tired, you're lost, you're not really there. So it's a very vulnerable place. And then to have that people there, so where is it where, yes, baby, you're home, you're safe. So, you know, that's the part that struck me, those lines there where, you know, it's somebody to, when you are, you know, asleep or you get that time and you wake up and you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't know where you're there, you just had a nightmare or something like that, and you're with that person to make you feel safe. So I got that from this poem, and I totally understand it. It's beautiful, as always. Hope, you are an amazing poet, absolutely. So great job. Thanks for sharing. Hey, Soul
absolutely
7, by the way. Poem. Soul 7 just joined us. So thanks for joining us, Soul.
Absolutely. And Weaver, you read it. What did you think?
Well, I really enjoyed it. I put on the board. I really enjoyed the two voices. It brought out the thespian in me. I should have made one voice deeper, but what the hey. No, I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, again, so interesting. A glimpse into people's minds is always fascinating for me. As we said before, when you have something like a prompt picture, and you know, everybody has a different slant on that when they look at it and write about different things. I only sleep a couple of hours a night, so my poor brain is completely frazzled. So whenever I do fall asleep for 10 minutes, I just have horrific nightmares. And I mean really horrific nightmares. I don't eat children. I honestly do not eat children. But for some reason, it's horrible. So yes, I can understand totally the disassociation. It cannot be a nice feeling. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And so Soul 7 is listening in. Hi, Soul 7. Welcome to the show. Great to have you listening in. Feel free to call
All right.
In any time.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for being on. All right, cool. So let's go to Nuno's, and then we will go back to the front page fix. But if you can read this one, that would be great, Ray.
Okay, sure. All right, this is by Nuno Cardoso. It was called My Name is Billy Sometimes. You know what? You could bang on my walls like the fucker upstairs, or you could even walk my dog, and the stop sign outside wouldn't move an inch. Cars would still continuously ignore it and crash. I'm not joking. Last year, I saw it 5 times. Shove me into the tub. Go ahead. That would make 2 showers in a row this week. Personal record this past couple of months. Oh, Billy boy, poor me. I've fallen off the wagon. I'm off my pills once more. The dogs bark after cars that pass by them. Oh, Billy boy, they write me poems. Isn't it wondrous what I can come up with? All this tightrope, no balance. I'm the ball in the machine. Watch me roll. Pinball, pinball. Insert another coin in the slot, on the slot. Oh, Billy boy, let me tell you my new song. But not here, not now. You might nick it. It's that good. Rainbow, blood, paper cut. Okay, rope, bunny, empires. Drinking love, watering down, just to name a few. The beer inside the fridge clanks open once more. And now I see clearly there are layers in heaven. End poem. And he says in his author's notes, for those who call me a surrealist. And I thought it was a wonderful write. You know, it really takes you into the mindset of Nuno, you know, when he's off his meds and the world is just turned upside down and topsy-turvy. I really enjoyed the part where it says the dogs bark at the cars passing by. And but the whole thing is deeply engaging. You know, it really throws a different mindset into your mental picture. And I thought that was great the way he twisted the world. So great share, Nuno, and much appreciated. All right, Daniel, what did you think?
I thought this was extremely, extremely interesting. And I don't, you know, I don't, you know, understand the mentality that you know, Nino's going through. I don't have the same mental, I don't know if I want to call it some mental illness or whatever this is, but I do understand what I call different personalities, and I don't have multiple personalities, but we all have kind of different things that we do. You know, I think about this sometimes where I'm not a different person when I'm here. I mean, I think I'm me right now, but still you have different worlds you're in, right? I have this world of poetry and all you guys that I do, that I have my personal world, I have my work world, and sometimes they all clash together. So you have these different things, which, you know, everybody has that, which is what this kind of reminded me of. And I like so that was interesting to me. That's how I related to it, Nuno. And I also like the dog. I love the dogs bark after the cars have passed them. And Old Billy Boy, they write poems in me. They write me poems. I mean, that I just thought was amazing. And I could just see that actually kind of stopped me for a minute to think, because I could just see, you know, the mind of this Billy person who's seeing poetry everywhere, you know, the dogs barking, and that's this poetry coming out of that. And I've given myself a challenge sometimes to that too, is to have closed my eyes in the world, wherever I am in the world, and kind of spun around and then pointed and opened them. And whatever I pointed to, I want to make poetry out of that. And to me, poetry is actually making itself. The world is making poetry for you. I thought that was just a great image. I was seeing almost psychedelia with poetry kind of coming out of the world for you. So really interesting as always, Nuno. Great job.
Absolutely. Incredible comment, Daniel. Thank you so much. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Did we lose Weaver?
I'm not sure. I'm going to look now.
Is there a mutation curfew in Spain? Did you have to go on? Did they come around and make you go on mute?
Yeah, she's on the board, so like she's on the phone board, so she is here.
Okay, maybe call back if you're having audio issues. Okay, cool. So we can I guess move on. So I don't think I was hanging off of Stelena. It doesn't look like Stelena is coming back. So. Let's just go ahead with hers, and she actually has a SoundCloud. If we could play that would be great.
All right, I'll play that. 1 minute here we go.
Slip back the cool sheets and invite me in. I eagerly enter your web of sweet seductive sin, where you are my master and I'm your willing slave. Feeling your skin on mine, it's impossible to behave. I hear your breathing quicken at my tantalizing touch. I whisper into our urgent kiss, I want you oh so much. We fly through the twilight on wings of dark desire, with our moans of ecstasy soaring higher and higher. When you take me to realms of unabandoned pleasure, I can refuse you nothing. My surrender has no measure. My only aim is to give you all that which you seek, for your expertise in the art of love leaves me weak. Sliding ice down my curves, melting upon my heat, as you light a raging fire from my head to my feet. You know how to skillfully guide my passion, my body to bend, my ebbs and flows to fashion. In this moment, nothing else exists in the world but you and I. And as we become one, I tremble with a deep, shuddering sigh. As I feel your weight upon me, see your hunger from above, you are an irresistible opiate, and I'm a slave to your love.
Wow, such a sensual and seductive, right? You know, it's just intoxicating, dripping with passion and desire and romance, and the heat of the passion is, it burns up. I mean, you know, it really lights the fire, and I thought it was just such a wonderful, right, and amazing read as well. Thank you so much for sharing, Stelina. Weaver, what did you think? Uh-oh, no Weaver.
Yeah, she said she was back, but maybe are you on mute, Weaver?
Okay.
Have
hello,
you unmuted?
Weaver.
Hello.
Back?
I'm back.
Hi, Weaver.
Can you hear me?
Welcome back. Yes.
Thank you so much. I was dropped. It was quite scary. There was suddenly silence. Anyway, yes, back to Stelina. Oh, my goodness me. The versatility of the lady is amazing. And her ability to just... Oh, it's like liquid gold, that voice. Just so sultry. I liked it a lot. I did really actually, I enjoyed it. Who would not enjoy it? You'd have to be dead from the neck down not to enjoy it. But for the neck, who knows? I thought it was wonderful. And as ever, I totally enjoyed every single shuddering sigh. So thank you, Stelina, for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful, amazingly sensual, and, you know, well-deserved. I mean, it just draws you in. And you know, it's the passion that draws you in with this. But I thought the rhyme was just beautiful, you know, reading it. It's kind of like a perfect little rhyme. And I do like rhyme for a reason. I think because, you know, they're talking about just two people who are just melding and just so connected. I think the rhyme is great to use for that as well. And her, I just want to comment on her, I mean, because I agree with everything you guys said. Her voice was just amazing. I mean, what a voice on Stelina for her reading. Just so beautiful and so amazing. I definitely got to look for more audios from her. But just an amazing, so passionate with that read. You can listen to that all night, you know. Just on a constant loop. So awesome job. That was great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Hope says Stelina is on another level with her soul and sip and art from. That is absolutely true. That's a whole nother level there.
Yeah,
right.
I agree wholeheartedly. I found it's intoxicating, you know. It's incredibly hot and deeply engaging throughout. So thank you so much for sharing, Stelina.
All right. We will continue on here. And I'm going to post one here from my friend and other co-host, Afaziana, and I'll give that one a read. I haven't read it in a little bit. So let me just find it here. And I will give it a read. I have like 18 different tabs open, so I can find which one I'm doing. And this is by Afaziana, who, like I said, co-hosts a Thursday night show with me every other week. This is called Orange Crushed. Flames scorched your citrus grove, fire licking and lashing your kin. Like your fruit, I'll peel your skin, scrape the rind off your arista. Defective evolution has your abdomen began punctuate. Convenient target practice, tearing your once tiny holes. The contrast of your ocular triangle tops my goals. My family of jewels known for precision, brain incision. Dorium, suctum, sliced your ooze. Hey, Moloth. Scuffing, scrumptious, scuffleum. Spit your obit on your own vellum. Here I lie, a fly who didn't comply. Flapping your maxilla like your defecation is impressionist. Tick, tick, tick. Wings shredded, you crawl through a graveyard of my conquests amidst the time bomb of my babies bursting from mummified bellies. Famished for fruit, who can no longer fly. I leave them, the citrus garnish, in search of an opponent with more meat. And the poem. And this is written, I remember these ones, written as the jewel wasp against the orange fly in round three of Queen of the Hive. So, yep, there we go, and the poem.
Well, great read, Daniel. I mean, you really had some words to tail end you there. And, you did an incredible job of succeeding through that. So, great read. But, you know, this is powerful. It's you can feel the might in her words, the fight. And, you know, where she leaves her babies bursting from mummified bellies, famished for fruit, who can no longer fly. You know, it's incredible, right? You know, you can feel the assertion of dominance in this rite. And I'm pretty sure she won this challenge, so... congratulations, Athanasia, and thank you so much for sharing. Great read, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, these were great. Those kind of competitions, great fun. I was in one. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. 1 second. Sorry about that. Voice is going. But I thought this was so good. I love that stanza. Flames scorch your citrus grove, fire licking and lashing your kin. Like your fruit, I'll peel your skin, scrape the rind of your arista. Oh, it's fighting talk in any language. Well done. No, I thought it was great. As I say, they're not easy because you've got to put so much into them to fight verbally against your opponent. It's not an easy thing. If you can get in there with an actual boot and give someone a kick, you're getting somewhere. But when it's words alone that you're fighting with, that's hard. So, well done. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, Mom and Weaver, thank you so much. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Sorry, I was mutating there. Yeah, this is really great. And it was interesting because I'm like, Weaver, I don't read these. Or I figure who's, yeah, I think you said a Weaver. I don't usually read them ahead of time. I just like to have the first impressions for the shows. So I wasn't really sure where she was going, but then when I read it, I realized it was for the jewel wasp against the orange fly. So she's, I think this is interesting because it's kind of a combination of sensuality. I almost thought she was describing two people making love, but it was also a fight between these actual two things. And I think that's right. I'd be totally wrong, and Aphasiana will yell at me for it, but I think all the punk ape, the halomorph, the scutum, the vellum, all these things, I think are parts of the orange fly. And she's the descriptions is just really, really interesting. I mean, she almost, I said, it's almost a type of sensuality, but then on another total different side, it's like almost like a monster movie, you know, that I got out of this. So, really, really interesting. And I've been in these type of contests before, and only made it to a few rounds, but this is really inspiring to me, Fazy. If I ever get in one of these again, so excellent job, really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, I think a lot of incredible lovemaking is doing battle in bed. So, kind of tip for tat, really.
All righty. Let's keep going here. And I'm posting one now by Sapphire Rose and Weaver. Why don't you give that one a try?
You mean Weaver?
Yes. Did I say Weaver?
Yeah, you did.
You said Delina, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
I might have. Sorry.
I keep getting
yes, Weaver.
That's it. Don't worry about it. Just call me Weaver. That'll do. So here we are. Sapphire Rose, Feathers in the Wind. A feather in the wind. Feathers in the wind, searching boundless over mountains, across oceans of cavernous blue, up high where clouds part ways with crystalline skies, soaring over flowered meadows, nature's masterpiece pales in comparison to the glint in a lover's eyes. Standing there bathed in the warm glow of the sun, if I asked you to lay with me, would you? Feathers now reflected in your eyes as they come to rest, once adrift on currents of wind, now descends into the earth below our feet. End poem.
Would you mind reading her author's notes, please?
Yeah, of course, no problem. Native American feathers are an important symbol of the Indian way of life. It is used to represent freedom, power, wisdom, honor, and much more. Feathers were seen in wardrobes, headpieces adorning their homes, and tattooed on their bodies. There we are.
Thank you for so much for reading that, and an excellent read on the poem. I really felt the love and the passion that she has in this, right? She calls to the feathered creature, the eagle, I'm assuming, to fly down and lay with her and, to give in to her and make her the sky that he flies in. So I thought it was beautiful. And one of my favorite writes from Sapphire Rose, deeply engaging and powerfully written. Thank you so much for sharing, Sapphire. And Daniel, what did you think?
it was beautiful. And your feathers are really interesting. People tend to pick them up a lot off the ground when you see them, because it's a feather is a really a miracle of nature, of evolution, right? And a feather allows us to fly and allows creatures to fly. It not only allows birds to fly, but it's amazing protection because it's these layered feathers, right? It's some of like penguins who can't fly, but their feathers, everything's so dense on them, their fur, whatever you want to call it, it's turned into fur that they're protected. And, for birds, it protects them against wind and rain and everything. It's really an amazing thing. And how she kind of covered it, I really, covered the some different aspects of feathers. And I really love feathers in the wind, searching boundless over mountains is really amazing. Because, a feather can, so light. Technically, if there's some wind, the feather could just kind of fly around forever, right? So light and so fragile, but it can take you to so many different places. But there is really a mystical thing about that, which, I'm certainly not an expert on Native Americans. Gray, I think you are Native American, correct? So you'd certainly know a lot more than me. I understand why they do use feathers in there, and why different cultures use feathers in anything sacred, because it is a mystical and kind of magical type of a thing. But excellent job, and it was really beautifully told.
Absolutely. And I just want to say to everybody that in the Native culture, unless you see the feather fall from the bird, then you're not supposed to pick it up. That's my belief.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. Unless you see the feather, so if you see the feather headdresses, that's supposed to be from they saw that from every one of those supposedly from an actual bird falling.
No, I believe they're harvested. Quite honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, the eagles take them.
Interesting.
But, I mean,
absolutely.
Do leave gifts of tobacco as. As a remittance for the gift. So, anyways, that's my belief, is that you're not supposed to pick them up unless you see them fall.
Interesting. I never heard that, but that makes sense, though. Okay, cool. Believe it or not, mine, I have one on here. I don't usually get a lot of front page picks, but I have one in July, and mine is actually up next. So since I don't usually get to call on the Monday show, I will I'll read it for you guys and try to remember what I actually wrote about. Sometimes I can't remember.
Because you have a mind of mayhem.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, mind of mayhem. That's exactly it. And this is actually about poetry. It was a prompt about a little bit of the craziness that might be in a poet's mind is what it was about. So, a mind of mayhem. As I awaken from an anesthesia fantasy land kidnapping, trees collaborate with ancient brain as a CPR slap to open my senses ready for business. And my brain, the craziest of chemists, just mixed my world into a psychedelic symphony. My love affair with vision now betrayed to a geometric color cacophony. Birds sing as the breath of ancient mystic shamans. When I eat, I hear screams of mercy, crying in plated desperation as their ancestors scream helpless from deep inside the earth. And love, what a fool I was to give into its trickery. My heart now beats from the squeeze of its hand, and I have no more blood. Puncture wounds from love's cruel knife do not heal, and blood-stained floors do not dry. Words are just a seweristic flow gathered from storm clouds and simple streams to pollute the vast cosmic mind of oceanic blank-page purity. And words once used to communicate now flutter upwards into stratospheric obscurity. They live now as an endangered species wandering city streets, rhyming too reproductively rhythmic to resist. Alliteration altogether alluring, adding to the instigation of interpretation too introspective to ignore. There's no longing further for my connectivity than the lost and fading days of childhood simplicity. I have fallen and I am fetal to the poison pain of curiosity, as no more tortured soul has been than a mind engaged in poetry and poem. And yes, the word seweristic, as I wrote in the author's notes, is a made-up word. Did I bore everybody to sleep? What's happening?
No, I thought I was dropped again. I do apologize. I thought I'd gone. Hello.
Did we lose Gray?
I don't know.
What did I? Did, I don't know. Gray might be gone.
I don't think he's there. No. Oh no.
Huh. Oh no. What happened?
He's
all right,
gone.
Gray, well, hopefully you're somewhere. I hope I didn't. I didn't put him to sleep by my reading. Well. Anyway, we can you and I can finish off the show. What did you? Hopefully, he comes back. I'm sure maybe he got kicked off. So what did you think of my? I'd love some comments if you wanted to tell me what you thought of my poem.
I would love to. I thought it was amazingly interesting. You have an amazing mind, obviously. But I like that first. I do kind of like different stanzas here because they have so much going on in each one, which is great because. It's not a continuous storyline sort of piece of poetry. It's you leaping from one thing to another as it comes into your head, which maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong. But I love that aspect of it. It has a clarity plus it's mad. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Birds sing as the breath of ancient mystic shamans. Screams of mercy, oh no, crying in plated desperation as their ancestors scream helpless from deep inside the earth. Now that, deep inside the earth, that's deep. I really enjoyed it. It gave me a glimpse into a side of you that I hadn't obviously had that before. It's got, I don't even know if playfulness is the word I should have used for this, because probably not, but it has this sort of, there's a playfulness and there's a joy about the fact that it's different and it's fluttering about and it's. I just loved it. I thought it was wonderful and I enjoyed that. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's supposed to be a little bit crazy because that's kind of the point is that, you know, as a poet, as,
yeah.
I mean, I think all of us on here are a little bit philosophical, right? We philosophize. We think too much is kind of what this is. That's
yeah.
What I mean. It's a mind of a poet. We're overthinking things all the time instead of just kind of relaxing and taking it in. And I try to do that sometimes, but it's almost impossible. It's, I'm trying to say here, you know, a bird goes by, why can't I just enjoy it? But a bird sings as, you know, breath of ancient mystic shamans. When I eat, I hear screams of mercy. So I'm eating and I'm just hearing the, you know, screams of mercy from the animals that have died for me to eat. And just, you know, you overthink things and that mind of mayhem. And it was supposed to be a little bit playful that way as well, too, where it's, you know.
I got that.
A little bit crazy.
I definitely got both sides of that. I liked it. As I say, it was heavy and light, which is a great combination. But, yeah, it's true. I mean, as someone who plays with words but not very well, because this is something completely new to me. I've not been trained in any of this, as quite a few people on here have been. I just sort of blunder in and play around with things. So I enjoyed this very much. So thank you.
Excellent. I'm the same way. I'm certainly trained in anything. I just kind of write stuff that comes to my head. And, you know, it's somehow it kind of maybe sort of works. I don't know, but I enjoy it. So, all right, cool. Excellent. So we probably have time for one more. Hope Gray's okay. And let me – Parko is next. Time is at 1:51. Yeah, one or two we can get in. Let's see how we do. So I'm going to post this, if you don't mind reading this for us, Kate. That would be awesome. By Harko Parko.
Oh, good old Harko Parko. You'd have to bear with me a moment till I find it because, I've got it.
My system. Just posted it.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Okay, got it. Thank you. A Reminiscence to Sun-Stained Funerals by Harko Parko. You're an arched sky. The one where a lotus slips between the marriage of your fingers and subtly carved leaves, exhaling as if the sun violated earth. Her lungs are scripted after the fading of lips that become foreign to primrose and its secret, like the mumbling of cracked mouths that slowly wed the air. An intonation of our garden becomes barren to your hands, and the way our dying days become breathless. To vines that cling on trellis by verdant valleys where we've laid more times than the night that glances towards morning, ripening fruits to the outlining of summer, a river impresses the cold, decomposing roots, as if heaven traumatizes our bodies into an ode of passing until we are no longer there. End poem.
Excellent read. And this one is really, really interesting. It's hard to, this is one that I think I need to read kind of multiple times, but a reminiscence to sun-stained funerals. And I almost seem like he's thinking about just memories is kind of the way I'm getting it there. So ripening fruits to the outlining of summer, a river impresses the cold, these decomposing roots as if heaven traumatizes our bodies into an ode of passing until we're no longer there. So he's, you know, the imagery in this is just absolutely amazing. And, I'm going to have to, I think, read this kind of multiple times, Harko, to really understand it, because I kept kind of, my mind was going all over the place. And I think it's on purpose. I've read Harko's before, and he kind of has multiple, you know, different meanings, which is definitely a sign of a great poet. So I'm going to have to kind of, so my mind was kind of different places at once, and I think that's on purpose because he kind of has different meanings to the whole poem. So excellent job. And Kate, you did an awesome read. What did you think?
I mean, Harko has that knack of spinning together his words so that you do have to stop and take a breath and think about it and start. Some poetry, you read it as you would a story. Other poetry, you read it as you would perhaps a play. This is Harko Parko at his very best. He brings in phrases and sentences that you would not have thought of or put together words the way you wouldn't have thought of either. But you have, for instance, a river impresses the cold, decomposing roots as if heaven traumatizes our bodies into an ode of passing. So basically, I think we're being told here that everything must come to an end and everything.
It's true.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's basically what it all comes down to. If we put it in my basic terms, which are probably completely wrong. But I love the way he writes, I have to say. His brevities are even more difficult because he manages to put so much into so few words that you are kind of left thinking, okay, where am I here? So, yeah, well done, Harko. Well done.
Excellent, excellent. And I skipped around. We have five minutes or 4 minutes left. Oh, hey, there you are.
Hi.
Yeah. Welcome, my friend.
I apologize. My phone came up with a notice of an update, and stupid me, I clicked update now instead of update later, and my phone restarted and did all that stuff. So I apologize. Sorry, Mr. Reed, Daniel.
No worries, no worries. Did you get to read or see Harko's?
No, I didn't. I just got back.
Okay. I got a quick brevity. Do you think we have time? And we have like 4.5 minutes, getting towards 3 minutes. Do you think we should end it, or you want to throw it in there?
Yeah, we'll throw it in.
All right, let's do it. So I'll put this in the group. I'll give it a quick read here. This is another one by Cedar. This is the third one by Cedar here today, so it's just a brevity. It's our grab. This is the Cedar Chapman Show tonight, and I'm going to read it. It's called Capture the Flag. An aerial barrage of silence and steel eyes pierced our enemies, front line to send their infantry quivering in their sneakers. The still air beckoned for chaos as flint is to bone dry kindling. We charged as tin soldiers under the beat of Mozart's symphony. Tiny feet stamped like vultures drunk on rotten flesh. A plume of brown dust exploded. Miniature banshees screamed. Wounded arms and legs flayed like headless chickens. Within minutes, it was over. We danced barefoot on our rivals' garden, spinning their beloved rusty carousel, securing the path of our kin with their silver, gold, and pale-eyed jawbreakers. We quenched with their red and orange ale. Their flag is ours. End poem. And, yeah, we have time for a couple of quick comments.
Wow, that was a hard-hitting write for such a brevity. You know, it's just packed with imagery, and you can feel the emotion in it. So that was great. Excellent, right? And thank you for sharing, Cedar. Congratulations on your front page pick. Weaver, what do you think?
Yes, this is a brevity with a lot of push and impulse. I like we dance barefoot on our rival's garden, spinning their beloved rusty carousel. You can imagine, you know, the little feet. Yeah, I thought it was very clever and very nice, interesting. And I like the fact that they got the flag in the end. That's excellent. So well done, Cedar. Most enjoyable.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was very interesting, really well done. And, you know, I got it as war, right? It is very interesting where you're just trying to, you know, capture the flag. We all play, I don't know if you guys play it in Canada or in Scotland, but we played a game called Capture the Flag. We had to go capture the other guy's flag. We used to play that in the United States as kids all the time, and it was, you know, some things, it wasn't with war. It was just literally you had to go get the flag, but that's what we do in war sometimes, right? In the old days, people have their flags. You're really trying to get the enemy's flag, and then that means that you basically conquered them almost. And so the way that he described that as war, it was very, very interesting, almost. John Wayne-like of war, I was thinking of this kind of the romance of war, which war is not romantic, but it can be a this proud moment type of thing. So, yeah, great. And that brings us to the end of the show. So I appreciate everybody, coming in today. And, Gray, if you want to take us out, excellent show tonight, guys.
Yeah, actually, great show. And next show will be Daniel's contest that he did. And I'm not too sure what it was called. Daniel, perhaps you could share.
I honestly can't off the top of my head what we did before. I do have multiple contests out there, so it'll either be that, or if there is a lot more front page picks, we might do that as well too. But stay tuned and look on my site. Look on my site for on my profile for the contests. But thanks everybody. Have a great night.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much. Good night, everybody. Much love.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Weaver. Or good morning.
Good night, my dear.
It is.
Good night. Morning. Good night, my love.
Yeah, good night.